to turn with me this evening in God's Word to the book of Exodus and the chapter 16. I have been off on holidays for the past 3 weeks to go back into the work tomorrow. And in 20 years of ministry, I've never preached a Sunday on the holidays. I took advice when I was a student and they said, whenever you're on holidays, you're on holidays. Don't preach whenever you're on holidays. But whenever the Reverend Greer asked me to do the evening service, I thought, well, old habits die hard. There's only one meeting, and I was delighted to have the opportunity to come and to preach the word here in Ballymena. It seems it's such a long time from us in the pulpit, but it's good to be back here with you tonight to trust the word. But I've been driving around the roads, and I was brought up on a farm, and there's still a bit of the old farmer left in me. And that's for the reason why sometimes my wife drives, because I'm looking over the hedges when I should be looking at the middle of the road. But you'll notice that the barley and the wheat and the grain is all being harvested. And my, just doesn't it bring us back to the Word of God? I am the bread of life. Then we go back into the Old Testament and we read of the manna that God rained down from heaven. And we're going to look at the manna of salvation this evening, but we're looking at the manna which God rained from heaven. We read of it in Exodus chapter 16, and if you bear with me, we'll read quite a lengthy portion tonight. Notice as we do, notice the grumbling of God's people. Reverend McRae used to sing about the grumblers. Well, they've been grumbling from Moses' time, and I suppose we'll not stop grumbling until we see the glory. It's just the old man within us, isn't it? Exodus chapter 16 and verse 1, and they took their journey from Elim. All the congregation of the children of Israel came onto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain weight every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they shall bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, when ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we, that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and no more for every man according to the number of your persons, Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. They gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. It came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. They laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof Manna. And it was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. And as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the 10th part of an ephah. We'll end our reading there, and we trust that God will add his blessing to this lengthy reading of his word this evening for his own precious name's sake. Turn again, please, to Exodus chapter 16. As we say tonight, we're going to speak of the manna of salvation. But let us seek the Lord. Before we do so, let us seek his face in prayer. Our Father, we pray that thou wouldst receive our praise and our worship tonight. We pray, O God, that it will be acceptable in thy sight. O God, we thank thee now for thy word. O God, we pray that thou wilt speak to us through thy word. O God, of ourselves, we have no interest. O God, we have no power, we have no sight, we have no hearing of thy word. But, O God, our Father, tonight we pray that thou wouldst give us thy spirit, Lord, that we might see Christ, that we might hear the Savior. O God, that our hearts might be touched. Give help to this preacher, Lord, undertake for him. O God, our Father, tonight we pray, do that work which no man can do. Speak to the hearts. Lord, call sinners unto thyself. Bring backsliders back to thee. O God, tonight have all the glory. Give help to this preacher now. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. O God, give me words which must and shall prevail. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The children of Israel had been slaves in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and the Egyptians for 400 years. But after the 10 plagues, you remember how God wonderfully led them out and delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh. He had taken them through the Red Sea on their way to the promised land. God had done wondrous things for them. But it wasn't long until God's people were murmuring and complaining about the things that had befallen them unto Moses. It seemed to be Moses that took the brunt of the complaints and the murmurings of God's people. They came to Moses. They complained unto him. After only 3 days, as they journeyed through the wilderness, they found no water. And when they came to Marah, where there was water, when they tasted of it, they couldn't drink of it because the water was bitter. And so in Exodus chapter 15, verse 24, we read, "And the people murmured against Moses, as if it was Moses' fault that the water was bitter. But the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink?" Already they had forgotten the wonderful miracle that the Lord had done for them at the Red Sea. At that time, Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord told Moses what to do, to cut down a tree and to cast it into the water. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and the waters were made sweet. When the tree was cast in, the water was made sweet and the people could drink. You know, that tree, folks, reminds us of the cross. You know, I wonder tonight, has sin made your life bitter? Has sin left you with a broken heart? A smile on your face, but a heart that's empty. A heart that's full of bitterness against God's people. Is that the state of your life tonight? Listen, the only answer tonight for that bitterness in your heart, maybe there's a child of God tonight, and there's a bitterness in your heart. I don't know what it is. I don't know what someone has said. I don't know what someone has done. But tonight there's a bitterness. I've been reading all this on holidays. I read through the little epistles to the different believers, Timothy, Titus, Philemon. And I was reading through Philemon. And what a wonderful church Philemon, Philippi was. But you know, there was a problem in the church there. There was two that weren't agreeing. Maybe there's two in Ballymena tonight that's not agreeing. And there's a bitterness in your heart. And it's ruining your life. Maybe you're backslidden because of the bitterness that you will not let go of. Maybe sin has made your life bitter tonight. Listen, you want to know what the answer is? If you want the answer, it's the tree. It's the cross. Unsaved one, if you're going to deal with that bitterness in your life and your heart, you've got to get back to the cross. Backslider, if you're going to deal with that bitterness that's in your life and in your heart, you've got to get back to the cross. Child of God, if there's a bitterness in your heart tonight, you need to get back to the cross. Or you'll go through this life just a bitter, grumpy old man or woman. Bitterness is as healed at the cross through the blood of Christ. But after that, after Marah, they moved on to Elim. Scripture tells us that at Elim there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the water. And then after that, they made their way down onto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And once again, God's people, forgetting what the Lord had already done for them at the Red Sea and at Marah, the people of God, they doubted the sufficiency and the faithfulness of God. Isn't that just like ourselves? We go from one calamity to the next one, just wondering how we're going to get through. We forget the faithfulness and the sufficiency of God. But once again, we read in Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 and 3, "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." Oh, listen, why is it that we as God's people so quickly and so easily forget the faithfulness of God in the past, and we murmur and complain in the present? It says, "And the children of Israel said unto them," unto Moses and Aaron, "would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat manna to the full, for ye have brought us forth unto this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. The people of God, they murmured and they criticized and they condemned Moses and Aaron. But once again, God in his long suffering, God once again undertook for the people. In spite of the people's murmurings, God undertook. It says the Lord rained bread from heaven for them in the morning. And in the evening, God sent the quails. Some believe that the quails were a type of a bird. Other things, that the quails were a type of locust. But either way, it doesn't really matter, I suppose. God gave them bread in the morning, which they called manna. And he gave them flesh in the evening for to eat. God, even though God's people were murmuring and complaining, God in his long suffering and in his patience, God met the need of the people in a marvelous way. He sent them bread in the morning. He sent them meat in the evening. God met the needs of his people. Oh, listen, child of God, maybe you're wondering. Maybe you're worrying how you're going to get through. Maybe times are difficult and finances, and maybe there's wee families here, and mommy's looking after the children, and daddy's out working, and the finances are stretched, and there's times that you wonder how you're going to get through. Oh, listen, when the devil causes you to doubt, look at the faithfulness of God in the past. Has he changed? He never changes. Keep trusting God, for God will supply your need. He'll supply our need, sometimes in the most marvelous and sometimes in the most unexpected of ways that we could never have imagined. God will meet the need of his faithful people. Now, the account of how God did supply the needs of his people on this occasion in the wilderness, it has always attracted a lot of interest. Indeed, how God provided the manna and the meat. The manna especially has always created some debate. And usually there are three positions that are taken. The first is denial. You know, some people deny that the miracle of the manna ever happened. And they maintain that this part of scripture, Exodus chapter 6, they say that the manna is just fantasy, that it never happened in reality. But they say the same about all the miracles of the Bible. Those same people, their motto is, if they can't explain it, then they deny it. If they can't explain it, then they say it never happened. It's just pride. They won't humble themselves and say, I don't understand it, but I believe it. No, they'll not do that. So we discard those people. They're proud. They won't accept God's word. The second position, the first is denial, the second is delusion. Some believe that there was no miracle, really. But they say that the people gathered up a substance that was produced by the tamarix monifera trees. Now, I'm no horticulturalist. I could milk a cow and I could feed pigs, but I'm no horticulturalist, so I've read this. They say that there was a substance produced by the tamarix monifera trees, which grew in that area at that particular time. One man wrote a book in 1483 about that area, and in the book he spoke of the monks. He spoke about the bread of heaven, which the monks and the Arabs would gather, and they would gather this substance that fell from these trees, and they would preserve it, and they would sell it to the strangers that would be passing through that way. And this man in the book, he explained how it fell in the morning, and so forth, and so on. Indeed, it filled the description of the manna which God rained from heaven. And so they try to explain the miracle away that way. Physically, they say it was just a substance that fell from these trees. But again, we discard what they say. It had to be a miracle from God to feed, 2 million people? And so we discard the theory of delusion. The third position that's taken is defense. You know, a certain German Christian author who acknowledges the previous bread of heaven that we spoke of there a moment ago, he has calculated that there would have been at least 2 million people to have been fed in the wilderness. And of each one of them took, as God said, an omer, which is about 6 pints. That would have been about 12 million pints of manna each day and every day. And so, to put it very simply, that the likes of myself can understand, that would have been 300 lorry loads each day if every lorry held 15 tons of manna. That's what would have been needed every day of every year for 40 years. Vast amount. And so we say this evening that the word of God is true. And the provision of the manna for to meet the needs of the people was nothing short of a miracle of God. God worked that miracle for his people every day of the year, and he worked it for 40 years while they traveled through the wilderness. There wasn't a day when the people were left hungry. Their needs were supplied. God had led them out of Egypt, and God had promised to bring them into the promised land of Canaan. God had brought them out, and so it was incumbent upon God to keep them and to bring them into the land of Canaan. And it was incumbent upon God to provide for them, as he did in this most marvelous of ways. Listen, folks, can I say tonight, and especially to those that are maybe worrying and wondering how they're going to get through, we have an unfailing God. An unfailing God. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. But in the provision of the manna, we have a wonderful picture of the provision of salvation. And so this evening, I want us to consider God's manna of salvation. And I'm glad your minister goes over the hour, for I'm going to be going over the hour as well. But I want you to notice, first of all, that the manna was divinely provided. Divinely provided. In Exodus chapter 16 verse 4, after the people had murmured and complained against Moses and Aaron, we read, Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my way or no. God said, I will do it. I will provide. Moses and Aaron, they must have been terribly frustrated with the people and with their circumstances as well along the path that God had been leading them. And let us go back. There said Elim, where the 12 wells were, had quenched the thirst of the people. But just after that, problem after problem. The wells at Elim soon run dry after quenching the thirst of 2 million people. And don't forget about the animals as well. Not only that, but the children or the shelter of the palm trees could not cover and protect every one of those people. And the children as well could not protect them from the hot blazing sun. And so even though there were 70 palm trees and 12 wells at Elim, the animals would have been listless after a little while. And the children would have been crying, and the parents would have been resentful, have been tired and bitter and weary. And the people were complaining to Moses and Aaron. Times were critical. At Elim, even though there was provision there, times were critical. But just in time. Remember this, God is never late. Just in time, God stepped in to calm the troubled waters, as it were, to calm the people. And the Lord came to with the answer to their problems. And he said to Moses, he says, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven. And he did. God did it. God always has an answer to the problems of life. As in a building site one day, a man came to the foreman and he says, Sir, we have a problem. Oh, he says, No, we don't have problems in this site. He says, We have solutions. And on the building side of life, yes, there's problems, but Christ is the answer. The answer's found at the cross. God said, I will rain bread from heaven. And that night and every night for 40 years, the bread fell like snow. Fell like a snowstorm until the whole camp was covered with the manna God divinely provided. And when the sun arose, this manna shone with an amazing pureness. And beauty about it. Reminds us of Christ and the pureness and the beauty of Christ. And listen, there was an abundance of it as well. There was enough for every man that would taste and take. Then in the morning, curiosity, the people, they went out. Imagine the first morning, the manna. The people looked out and there the manna was shining from the sun. They'd never seen the like of it before. And the people probably went out cautiously and they lifted it and they began to taste it. They took of the bread of heaven. And my, it was so good. It was so sweet. It tasted like wafers made with honey. God's provision. It was miraculous. It was wonderful. What a type of the manna of salvation. The gift. God's gift of salvation. It was planned in heaven by the Godhead, by the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was planned by God. And then when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. Christ came into the world as a little babe in Bethlehem to die for us upon the cross of Calvary. He came to shed His blood that our sins might be forgiven. You see, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Listen, folks, forget about your good works. Getting you to heaven. Forget about whatever church it is getting you to heaven. Forget about your own self-righteousness to atone for your sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And that's what Christ came to do. He came to shed His blood upon the cross of Calvary, that your sin, that my sin might be forgiven, and that our souls might be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, in Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, listen, folk, you can't earn salvation. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I tell you something, if we could earn salvation, heaven would be a place of boasting. It ain't going to be. For salvation is not of works, it's all of grace. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. The manna of salvation has been provided by God for us at the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ, He has come, He has shed His blood, He has laid down His life. And He offers to you tonight the manna of salvation, the gift of salvation. Will you not come and taste and see that the Lord is good? You can't earn salvation, you can't buy it, you can't work it, but you can receive it. If you're not saved tonight, would you not repent of your sin? Turn away from whatever it is that you're depending upon and say, I'm going to trust Christ tonight. I'm going to trust Him wholly. I'm going to receive Him and trust Him fully as my Savior. Will you come? Will you trust Christ? Will you receive His offer of salvation? The manna was divinely provided. But then, notice secondly, it was personally accepted. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4, the Lord had told Moses what He would do to provide for the people. He said, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. You see, there's God's provision and man's responsibility. The Lord would provide the manna, but the people had to go out and gather it up for themselves that they might taste of it and live. And that's what they did. In verse 17 we read, And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. Now I want the men folk to notice, if I never noticed this before, I want the men folk to notice this, that it was the man who seems to have done the gathering for his family. You see, in verse 16 we read, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, Gather of it every man according to his eating, a normal for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Every man was responsible for his own family to gather the manna and to provide for them. And so if he didn't go out and gather up the manna, if he didn't provide for them, then the family would perish. But look at what it says in verse 21. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. The man every morning gathered up enough for himself and for his family. And brethren, I want to say to the men folk tonight, you see, very often, and it happens everywhere, the men leave the responsibility of the family to the mothers. The men go out and they graft and they work, and their ladies are saying, well, I do as well. And that's true. But how often in the home, and the men leave the responsibility of the spiritual upbringing to the children, to the mother. Oh, brethren, let me say to you every morning, gather up for your wife and your family. Gather up for them at the throne of grace. Pray for them. Will you do it? The men folk were to gather the manna for everyone that was in his tent. They were to look after everyone under their care. But notice this, that when he brought the manna home, back to the tent, each one of them in the tent had to take of it, and they had to eat of it themselves. The father could bring it home, but if they didn't eat of it, then they would perish. It was no good. The manna was no good to them in the tent unless they took of it and out of it. Everyone, young and old, had to take the manna, and they had to personally take it and receive it, or else they would perish and they would die. The father could only gather the manna for the family, but they had to eat of it. And so be it with regards to the manna of the gospel and the manna of salvation. Listen, let me say to the young people that are not saved, your mom and dad can pray for you day and night. They can pray for you daily. They can bring you up in the Sunday school. They can bring you to the youth meetings. They can bring you to the evening service. They can bring you to the gospel service. But listen, young people, if you don't receive Christ, if you're not saved and you die in your sin, you'll go to a Christless eternity. And maybe you're an older person here, but you can remember an old godly mother and an old godly father, and they prayed for you and they brought you to church and they brought you the gospel, but here you are in the eventide of life and you're not saved. Is it their fault? No, it's not. It's yours, for you have chosen the path of sin. Would you not be an answer to their prayer? Come and accept Christ. If you're going to be saved, if you're going to be in heaven, then you have got to individually and personally turn away from your sin and repent of it and accept Christ as your Savior. Or you'll personally and individually perish in hell. Will you come? It was divinely provided. It was personally accepted. And listen, it was wonderfully sweet. You think the things of the world are sweet? Nothing compared to what Christ can do. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 31, we read about this manna. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Is there anything sweeter than honey? Oh, how sweet. In Psalm 78, verses 23-25, we read, though he commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven, manna, men did eat angels' food. The manna that God sent down was actually the food of the angels. It's called the corn of heaven. It was that which the heavenly creatures ate, like honey, wonderfully sweet. The food of the angels, the corn of heaven. Again, we read in Numbers 11, verses 7 and 8, and the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. Now I want you to notice a couple of things here. And the manna, when it was gathered, it was ground in mills, or it was beaten in a mortar, or it was baked, and it also speaks of it being thieved as well, or boiled. But it also, notice what happened to it, but notice also that it was as the taste of fresh oil. It was good. You see the word translated angels in Psalm 78 in the verse 25. It can be also translated as strong or mighty. And it's used also with regards to princes and nobles as well. And so the manna that God sent down for his people, for his ordinary people, it was the food not only of the angels, it was the food of princes and of nobles. I tell you, the manna of salvation is every bit as good and better. The manna was good, it was very good. It was as sweet as honey, it was as fresh oil, it was pleasant, it was refreshing, it was everything that the people needed. It was the food of the angels, it was the food of nobles, it was the food of princes. But can I tell you something, and I'll say it again, it's nothing. The food, the manna that the children of Israel had in the wilderness was nothing compared to the manna of salvation that God offers to you tonight. How many sadly are satisfied with the pleasures of the world? How many tonight there are in this world in Ballymena, in Auchinlochy, are satisfied with the pleasures of sin, which only last for a season? Momentary pleasure, which brings endless sorrow, misery and heartache when the morning comes. Oh, listen, if you're not saved tonight, listen to what the psalmist says. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You know what the man of salvation does? The Lord forgives. Imagine your sins all forgiven. Cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be brought up against you anymore. He forgives, he redeems. He satisfies. The world can't do that. Religion can't do it. Works can't do it. The world can't do it. Thank God Christ can do it. Forgive your sins. Redeem your soul. Satisfies. Are you looking for satisfaction tonight? You've tried the world. You've tried every den in the Ballymena. Or you'll be satisfied when you trust Christ implicitly and wholly. He satisfies. I want you to notice finally, it was gloriously sufficient. Divinely provided, personally accepted, wonderfully sweet. It was gloriously sufficient. The manna that they gathered every morning and the quails that they gathered every evening sufficed to meet the need of the people. It was enough to meet all of their needs. But I want you to notice something more. In verse 23 we read, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe, or boil, that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And so some of the people there was seethed, they had boiled some of this manna. But notice also in Numbers 11, verses 7 and 8, it tells us a little more about what they did with the manna. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. The taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. The manna that was gathered had to be prepared. And so it was seethed, it was ground, It was beaten. It was crushed. Doesn't that take us back to the cross? That reminds us of Christ. What a picture of the Savior, the one who provided the manna of salvation for us, the one who said, I am the bread of life. Oh, listen, to be the bread of life, to be the Savior, he was beaten, he was bruised, he was crushed. He was beaten and bruised in the high priest's hall. He was crushed by man. But he was crushed by the weight of our sins. Isaiah says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Wasn't he bruised? Didn't they take their hands and beat him? Wasn't he bruised? Wasn't he beaten? With the reed. But then he was crushed. Crushed by man and crushed by our sins, for it says that he bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. And all the weight of our sin and the punishment of our sin was laid upon Christ upon the cross. What a weight. He was crushed unto death. But thank God he rose again the third day. Rose again the third day. He seated at the Father's right hand. But listen, the blood that he shed upon the cross is powerful enough to cleanse you from your sin tonight. Mighty to save you. You say, preacher, if you knew the things that I had done, well, I don't need to know them. And I don't want to know them. But I know this. No matter what sin you have committed, John says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. When Christ hung upon the cross just before he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, he cried, it is finished. What did he mean? He meant that he had paid the debt of the sins of his people in full. Redemption was finished. Salvation was purchased for the whosoever will. And today, this evening, listen, I don't care what sin you have committed, you can be saved, you can be forgiven, you can be redeemed. You can be born again. If you'll only repent and call upon the Lord to save you. Will you do that tonight? You say, I couldn't keep it. You're right there. But I tell you, the one who saves is the one who keeps. And the God, and the Lord who kept the children of Israel every day for 40 years can keep you for every day for the rest of your life. And you mightn't have 40 years. But the God who kept the children of Israel in the wilderness can keep you if you walk with him. It says, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They ate manna unto the borders of the land of Canaan. I tell you, if you come to Christ tonight and trust him, he can keep you until you reach the glory land. Until you close your eyes in death and open up your eyes in heaven. He can keep. Listen, get this tonight before we go. The one who saves is the one who keeps. You don't need to depend upon yourself. You trust in the Lord. God has provided the manna of salvation. You need it. If you're not saved, man, you need it. For if you die as you are, you're going out into a lost eternity. Tonight will you come? Will you come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, you say, preacher, I'll put it off another night. Very dangerous thing to do. A couple of months ago, my youngest son, 19 years of age, going to work at 5 to 8 in the morning, too many from home, and an old man on the road. Thank God the Lord was beside him in the car. He kept him. He's still on crutches and will be for another few weeks yet. Listen, what if anything should happen to you tonight on the way home? Where will you spend eternity? As one man said to me when the son was hit in the car, he says, man, if it can happen to you, what hope is there for the rest of us? Don't know what he thinks I am. But it could happen to any one of us. What if it should be you? Where will you spend eternity? Let's bow in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy word, for thy great salvation. Lord, this has been a still meeting. It's been a solemn meeting. Oh God, we know now we have thy table, but Lord, we can wait. If there's a soul that thou hast spoken to, Lord, if they need help, let them speak to us. But Lord, we pray that tonight, should they pass us by, may they speak to thee before they go out onto the road and possibly into a lost eternity. Speak on when the voice of man is silent. Be with those who must take their leave now and go their different ways. Give turning mercies. Spread thy covering wings around to all our wandering cease. And at our Father's blessed abode, may all our souls arrive in peace, trusting in the Saviour's blood. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen.